kontrakten med å satt på under teip på bare de har lov til å bruke opp, så det nesten ikke noe tak igjen. Jeg vil at jeg skulle lære å flytte meg.
Ok, let's start. So what we did here was that we were guessing that maybe there was a table called users with username and passwords that we could hack into. But sometimes we don't have that as a starting point. So after guessing, we can also try to use the fact that we can assume that this is a MySQL database, MariaDB. Because we, as we talked about when we talked about the database, a good thing with the database is that it has this built-in schema or dictionary that is a database of the database itself. So all the information in the database is there in the schema. So in MySQL or MariaDB, it's called the information schema. And here we have columns. It's actually a view, but it is like a table. So we can go there, and we can show here a query where you say, okay, well, let's select table name and column name from information schema columns. Let's say that the table schema is different from MySQL, because there are quite a few MySQL tables in here. So if we go there, we find that there are still quite a number of, let's say, how many did we find? 1800. So we, if we have time and we can go through and list all that. Now if we we can continue guessing, because I don't know if any of you are into hacking, but I assume that hacking means a bit of guesswork. So you're trying to guess some here and there and trying things. You are quite patient and you try to say okay, and table name, sorry. Table name, but we know SQL, so we could do like, see if there's something with a user. And there were quite a few, but not as many, 40. So if we go to the, let's see, the next page. Oops. We find that there were users table and there is a user table. So this is also a way to try to figure out what's here in the database. We could try to query. We could try to query for what are the database users, what are the databases. So bottom line is, if we have a database user with full access, login as a database user with full access to the system, and if there's no protection of what we passed to the user, we can do quite a lot. Okay, let's so we can hear if you guess the table name was user, we can look for it, or in this case I did the like, and we can just glue it in by using the fact that whatever is between this and this single quote, we can play with. We can construct it in a way that gives us the result we want. So now once we found the table, and if the database doesn't have any protection, we can now start updating. So if we go here, so this is our start. But now let's do the semicolon right away, because that separates two queries from each other. Update, sorry. user set password equals to hacked. Not for all, let's be nice. Where name equals Zuna. Now if we go back to the previous query, oops, was something wrong in my query. It didn't update.
If you go forwards, maybe you'll get it back. Yeah.
You wrote updater instead of update.
Updater.
And you have a semicolon before update.
But that semicolon I need, because it's separating the two queries. There it goes, hacked. So you can see I can also start inserting data. I can change data. I can, of course, but again, I have to have the valid statements. But I can do change it. I can drop a table. I can drop the whole database. I can shut down the server. I can do anything. If I am logged in as a user with root privileges, I can do anything on this machine. But just connecting the semicolon here, the end apostrophe and the semicolon means that everything down here, I can do anything on the database that this user is allowed to do. And if I'm logged in as root, I'm allowed to do anything. As I said, I can shut down, I can delete everything, databases, users, whatever. Change the administrator passwords, I can do a lot of bad things. Now, just another example. So let's say that to log in as a user, you have a login page, and we assume that from some login page, the username and the password comes in here, and we just say a query where the name is the name you get, and the password is the password you get. So let's see here. So if we go to login, PHP, and then name equals Rune, and password equals hacked. Wasn't it I said it to? Okay, it says welcome. Now the thinking here is that if I say no clue, then login's failed because I have to have the right combination of username and password. But this can be engineered as well. So if we look this one, so if we play around with shortcutting this. And how can we shortcut an and? Because now we need this and this. How can we shortcut this and? If we put in something or in between. So if you do like this. So if the username is RuneHJ or one is one, what has happened then is that it's enough that this is, if this is good. So if you know the username, we don't need the password. You follow me? So here, if we here say, okay, now let's end this this string. And we say, or one equals one, sorry, one equals one. Sorry. I should have an apostrophe here. There. And I provide no password. Now, all of a sudden, I'm in. I shortcutted the password test. By just having the username properly, I'm in. And I can do whatever as me without knowing the password. You follow? So if we have full access to SQL processor, from the user input here, we can do a lot of nasty stuff. So that is what we need to stop. Because with this query, it's enough that this the username is correct, then we have basically shortcutted the password part. So what do we need to do is to make sure that the string that we get from the user, we need to make sure that it's sanitized. We need to make sure that it doesn't contain any characters that will lead into operations that we didn't plan for, we didn't intend to. So if the user if we have a field that's supposed to have numbers, we should verify that it's numbers. If it has dates, we should verify that these are dates. If it has character strings, we need to make sure that these character strings are properly handled. And the easiest and best way to do that is, as we suggested up here in the very beginning, is to use prepared statements. Because that's what prepared statements do. Except that some of you did made a mistake in the first assignment, thinking that it's enough to prepare a statement. No, it's not. Because what's important is that you bind what you get from the user needs to be bound to the statement. So some of you passed into the prepared statement directly the user input into when preparing. But that doesn't work because it doesn't check the SQL syntax of the prepared one. When the input checking happens is when you bind the user input to the statement. So it's important to make sure that use prepared statement and you bind all user provided data to the statement. And as you could see, the fact that all the exception information was passed to me, I could see that okay, the username wasn't, or this, the table name wasn't the right one, the column name wasn't the right one. It guided me in my search. So try not to give the user anything. So you've probably seen that if you try to log on, most systems should tell you that the combination of username and password is incorrect. In old times, they try to be helpful, say, oh, yeah, you had the username right, but the password is wrong. Okay, but that's a clue to the hacker. They know that, okay, that's a user, known user in the system. So don't give, try to give as little information as possible that's not really required, because what the user needs to do is to check that the username and password is correct. That's what they need to do. So try not to help hackers to get into it. If you go to OWASP, it's a web page where we're trying to collect everything that's related to security on the web. It has a cheat cheat sheets, and one is on SQL injection. And I like that. It says it's somewhat shameful. I would say it's more than somewhat shameful. It's shameful that we still make these SQL injection problems. There are still new systems still have that. There is no reason for not using prepared statements. Because, as I say here, it's extremely easy to use prepared statements rather than just direct statements. And with prepared statements, we get away with or we solve all these issues. Yeah, this one is nice. Bobby tables, yeah. Just make sure that we should never trust the input we get from a user. It should be, we should sanitize it. Make sure that we test that it's what it's supposed to be. So this is the SQL injection part and the programming part. Now let's look at how we can set up some of the more on the administration, the database administration. Now we can set up the database to help us providing these many layers of protection that we talked about. So in the database manager, we have the authorization control, and the authorization control is really the one place of control where we can limit quite a lot of the problems. We can't necessarily avoid them, but we can limit, because authorization control, that's where the database decides what privilege, what operations can a certain user request. So it shouldn't be what I did in the SQL injection. The one problem was that I could actually run any query. But the other problem was that there was no security, or no access control. So I could do everything. I could shut down the database. I could delete any data I wanted. And that is the problem that we can solve by using the authorization control mechanism in the database. Now, what's the difference between authentication and authorization? Yeah, exactly. So authentication is to verify that the user is who he claims to be. Authorization is that the user is authorized to do what he's requesting to do. Exactly. So we typically use username and passwords for that. But you can see that now we have 2- and 3-step type of validations where you also need to use your phone or some other means. If it's very important, then you need to provide more proof that you are who you claim you are. In the database, it's still mostly username and password. In the database, what is the common is to use privileges. So we can define privileges. What is a certain user allowed to do in the database? And privileges can be grouped into roles. So we'll talk a little bit of roles, but let's start with the privilege. So in the database, we have a number of privileges that we can that the user may have. We may have privileges that are at the database level, like they could create a user, or they could shut down the server, they could start or restart the server. But in many of the privileges are related to database specific objects. So whether you are allowed to create a table, or you are allowed to drop a table, alter a table, so these would be the DDLs. But also DMLs for deleting, inserting, selecting, updating. This can all be controlled. So if you go to phpMyAdmin, then let's see if I can make this. We can look at user accounts. And there we can see privileges they have been assigned. So global privileges would be root has all privileges. We don't want a hacker to get all this if he gets to hack into it. So we would like to be able to limit the privileges. I haven't created an account for myself here because I had to redo or I got to reinstall everything, so I haven't. But in the previous version, I would have a user with constrained privileges. So here I could say any, edit the privileges. So any user, we can say what are the global privileges? What can they do on data? Can they select, can they insert, update, delete? What can they do on the structure? Can they create new tables or views? Can they alter existing, drop some of the schema? And can they administer? Can they shut down the server? Can they show all the databases? Can they create users? What are their rights? So here we can, on the user, set any of these at a global level. But then we can also, on a certain database, so if I go to the samples database that I have here, we can also look at privileges. These are users having access to privileges, and we can add more users to this database and say this user can only read data, or this user can modify data, but they can't change the schema. So this is my way to, for each user, decide what are the privileges at the global level and at each individual database level. And that is the authorization, meaning that we can restrict what what options a user have. And of course, since this is a relation database, everything can be done in a SQL query. So in a SQL query, we use the grant operation. So we say grant, and then we say what we grant. So this user, a student logging in localhost, will be allowed to access anything inside this database, but just selecting and inserting. Can't delete, can't update, can't drop the table or schema or anything. Or we can revoke. Say, okay, I regret. So I don't want a student to be able to insert. So I revoke that privilege. Yeah, so this we already saw in the PHP MyAdmin. But again, you can get all of this also with SQL commands. Now, using privileges, we can implement this principle of least privilege. And that principle says that we should not give any user more access to do more than what they really need to do the job. So if we have a user, let's say a database user, that's being used by a web page that is listing statistics, then we should make sure that just the statistics that they need to list is accessible to that user. And very important, only administrators should be granted admin privileges. So to shut down or to create users, all those admin functions, there should be just an administrator. And the database, you should never log in, a web application should never log in as an administrator. That would give the web server too much power on the database. And never run as root, never. It's convenient because you just start it up and root and no password, it's convenient, but it's also very dangerous. And if you have apps that just read data, just create, give it privilege to select. You don't need all the other privileges. Now, in some systems, privileges can be grouped into roles. And the best way to explain roles is that, you know, your key card, your access card to our doors, the way you get access is based on roles. You are a student, so by being a student, you get access to certain rooms a certain time of the day. If you are in IMT 2571, if we needed a special lab, the fact that you were a student on this course would give you access to those labs. So IT department don't manage individual access rights. So if you have access rights, you have a need to access a room, then the best way will be to be member of a role or a member of a group that has a role, and they will assign you their role privileges. Because otherwise it's impossible to manage. If you have each individual user and you need to set all the privileges, so typically you have administrative staff, you have teaching staff, you have students, and you have special projects, you have special courses, and each of those would come with some privileges. And by being a member of the groups, you get the related privileges. And that's the easy way to manage, because otherwise it's hard to revoke. I mean, so if you have access to a lab, then next year you don't need access to the lab. Then it will be hard for IT to remember to revoke it from everyone. But if they revoke the role for all the students who don't have the course anymore, then all the privileges that are related to the role will also be revoked. Now, think about this for a couple of minutes. So let's say we are building a web application, the data for that web application is going to be administered by the database administrator, but he don't need a web interface. He's just admin data directly through his web tools, through his database tools. There should be a data administrator. So the database administrator is overseeing the whole DBMS and everything, and the data administrator is responsible for the quality of the data in this database. And he or she needs to view and add and modify and delete data in this database through a web interface. And we have registered users, and they may view, add, modify their own data through a web interface. And we have anonymous users that will be able to just view some general data. So how would we set this up? How can we set this up so to try to avoid opening it up too much? Because remember, risks or one of the vulnerabilities would be individuals. So if all users have access to everything, then if we get the username and password from one of the users, we have access to everything. So how would we set up this? How many database users would we want to have? Meaning, in the database, how many users of the database would be required? Just one root? That would be fine. Let root do everything. Yeah. One for database and one for the anonymous user. And one for normal users. For the web interface. That would cover both data administrators and registered users. Or? Yeah, maybe. I mean, if we went with the privilege or the principle of least privilege, we will say that, okay, we should have four different users. Only administrators need administrator privileges. Anonymous users, they should only be able to actually have access to select from the general information tables and views. Registered users, they need more access than the anonymous users, so they should have access to the tables to select, to update, to insert on those tables. And then the final one for data administrator should have the rights also to modify any of the data in this database. Not change the schema, but modify the data. Which means that on the web server, depending on what you log in as, you will be connected to the database with different logon information. So if you log in as an administrator, data administrator, you will be logging in with the user that has access to the whole database. If you log in as if you don't log in, then you only gonna run with the PHP script that is logged into the database as the anonymous user with almost no privileges. You see the point? So one app doesn't have to have just one way of logging in or one connection to the database. You can have one connection for each type of, or one type of connection for each type of user. Make sure that if you are logged in as an anonymous user, you have very limited access. If you are logged in as a registered, you could still not do the operations that an administrator can do. You're limited to just the operations that a logged in user is supposed to do. So think of it this way, that when creating a database, think about what are the types of users and privileges, and needs, and then create database users that have been granted the exact needs that that they have to do the job. Yeah, bit of security in MySQL. So there are encryption functions and hashing functions that you could use. There's no support for roles. We talked about the roles, grouping privileges in the roles. There's no support for that. But quite a lot of what we have talked about will be both hashing and encryption and passwords is supported by MySQL also. But this is general. Whatever database, we need to think about these terms and privileges. We need to think about encryption and hashing and finding the slow and hard hashing methods to use for passwords. This is the reading material. I think we're going to be ending a little bit early today. But this, and hopefully some of you read it already. And if you didn't, I think you should read it. And as Ova's been saying, it is somewhat shameful that we still make mistakes of the type that we do. So, what would you remember from going from here? What are the best practices you will be adopting now? Are we going to be using prepared statements? What else? Yeah. You could use several users. You have the principle of least privilege. Yes. Trying to avoid giving users too much power when they get into the database. Hashing. Passwords to have hashing and possibly use a built-in mechanism so that you also add some salt to it if you use the password. Layer. Think about security in layers. Yes. We need to make sure that they don't enter the system, and we need to make sure that they can't do much harm when they get into the system. So, principle least privilege. So one way to make it easier to maintain, to have this layering, is to make sure that sensitive data is stored separate from regular data. So it's behind more protection mechanisms than regular data. So it's not like you need to store all data related to an application in one database. Maybe the sensitive data needs more protection and is stored somewhere else. And the prepared statements is really about never trusting what you get from the user. We have to check. Never trust what the user sends you, even though, I mean, it's easy to think that when we have this web application and we have this front end, and we do checking in the front end. We check the user data. I mean, we have a form that's checking the right data type and everything. Why do we still check on the server side? Why do we need to check on the server side, even though we do checking on the client side? Let's say we have dates. We check on the client side that dates are properly formatted. Why should we still test them on this or check them on the server side? Because you don't know what all the clients could be. Because, I mean, when I did my SQL injection here, what did I do? Did I go through the interface? No, I did use the URL directly. I typed in the URL directly, and thereby passing information. And there are a number of tools I could use for creating forms and submitting form data. So there's no guarantee that there was a valid client that or one of our approved clients that check this data. So we need to do, but it's still convenient to test this on the client side, so we can give the user quick feedback if the client sees that this data is invalid or incorrectly formatted. We can tell the user rather than going all the way to the server to get to know and then go back and tell the user. So we should still do it on the client side as well. But that's for system performance and for user response, not for security reasons. And don't give detailed instructions, help to the user, how to they can continue hacking the system. Use SSL, HTTPS, to make sure that no one can trap the communication. And, as I said, strong hashing. Yes, so if you remember to do that, then I think we are helping the world becoming a better place. less applications that can be hacked. Thank you.